This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, we'll look at the way state and national media outlets covered Scott Walker's campaigns for governor and president.
First, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Storms can be as thrilling as they are scary. Gales on Lake Michigan send some people into hiding, others, like Wendy Lutzky, to the lakeshore.
Gales on Lake Michigan can be as destructive as hurricanes, attracting thrill seekers as curious as the tornado chasers on the open prairies. When a gale warning alert pops up repeatedly on my phone, I know it's going to be a doozy. People have died and ships have disappeared in gales like this on the Great Lakes. But the gravity of that doesn't stop people from being drawn to the water's edge to witness it for themselves. So, based on personal experience, here's what you do. Choose a spot on the shore that's exposed to the elements but won't put you in imminent danger of being swept into the waves. Pull off your hat or loosen your hood and face yourself into the wind. Feel the wind pull your hair back and let the airborne waves splatter your face. If the wind gives you a shove backwards and forces you to shout to be heard by the person near you, you've passed the test. You'll be rewarded by waves that dwarf man-made piers and lighthouses, ramming and rolling over them with ease, creating a splash that temporarily suspends the water twice as high as the original wave. Days or weeks from now, someone will discover that parts of a shipwreck once hidden are now exposed, or one that was exposed has now been swallowed by the shifting sands. Provided you're not a target for flying debris and there's no lightning, you know you can stand out in it for as long as your crazy obsession lasts. The word awesome may be overused in our American vocabulary, but in some circumstances, like this, it's the first word that slips past your lips as the wind makes you squint and the waves crash at your feet. While I was thrilled to be out during the gale, I was just as interested in its aftermath. Evidence of nature's power was everywhere. Sand was saturated at least 30 feet inland from shore. Dune grass bent flat into submission created beautiful patterns in the smooth, sculpted sand. The finest nature artists, with all their talent, can't create the spontaneous beauty that nature does. Only nature can make a little slit in the piece of driftwood home for the pebble perfectly embedded there. What human could splay the smooth stones out as tiny moons orbiting an oddly shaped driftwood planet in the sand? Only nature could place the tree limb on the beach and decorate it with chains of mussel shells like garland forgotten on last year's Christmas tree. As much as I love the peaceful mornings of purple dawn over a calm lake, I'm drawn to this big water when it's roiled and angry. Beauty and power work as partners in humbling me and making me thankful to live in one of Wisconsin's coastal communities.
Wendy Lutzky is the Director of Education at the Wisconsin Maritime Museum. Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more online at wisconsinlife.org.
Historically, the Great Lakes have seen their fair share of destructive storms. Some of the bigger ones have caused legendary shipwrecks, many of which can be seen today if you don't mind diving in the frigid water.
Joining us now to talk about the world of shipwreck diving is Cal Cothrady, maritime artist, diver, and underwater photographer. Cal, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Cal, how did you first get started photographing shipwrecks?
I actually was a photographer for many years on land and decided to make the plunge so it were underwater. And I've been doing that for about 6 years now. The shipwrecks, I'm just drawn to them, and I can't get enough of them.
And what are some of the Wisconsin area shipwrecks you've been able to see and come back with pictures of?
Some of the, I guess, more famous wrecks that people may have heard about are also photogenic. And one in particular would be the Rouse Simmons, which was a wooden sailing vessel, but it's also better known as the Christmas Tree Ship. Mm-hmm. There's been books written about it, and I believe there's even a play. But that was a great dive and a very picturesque schooner sitting on the bottom.
Now, I'm curious. You said you can't get enough of it. I will probably never be diving with a camera underwater looking at a shipwreck. What is it like to be down there under the water with what was obviously an unhappy demise for the ship and possibly lots of people on board? What does it feel like?
It's really kind of surreal. You're able to touch history. People can't on land walk into a time capsule that's literally been frozen in time for 125 or 150 years because they just don't exist without being a recreation in a museum. But as a diver, we get to visit some of these wrecks that have been virtually undisturbed for a century or more. And that historic connection is just incredible to feel and see the hand tools or the board, the decks that they walked on and earned their living on. It's incredible, and you can't get enough of it.
Are there personal effects of the people who are on board left, or has time sort of washed all of those away?
It really depends on the shipwreck, excuse me, but occasionally there's articles from their everyday life, frying pans, coffee pots, sometimes clothing, boots or hats, and that really hits home the personal connection that these aren't just vessels; these were workplaces and oftentimes grave sites for folks who were just trying to live their lives and get about from town to town or whatever.
Talking to underwater photographer Cal Kothrati about his photographs of shipwrecks of Lake Michigan and oceans as well. Let's get into the photography side of this a little, Cal. I mean, I imagine you can't take your standard terrestrial camera and just jump in the water with it.
No, you can't just put it in the water, but you can certainly buy what's called a housing, which is, I guess, a protective box that the camera goes in and usually allows you to have access to all of those buttons on your camera. And we also have strobe lights or sometimes what we call hot lights for video and things of that nature. And I actually run a little GoPro on top of my digital SLR camera housing so that when I'm shooting stills, which is what I care to do the most, I'm also shooting video as well.
And how different is it shooting video or photography underwater versus on land?
It's kind of tricky because the water... the clarity of the water typically does not allow you to get far enough away from these large shipwrecks. I mean, some of them are 2-3 stories tall off the bottom of the lake. So it's very difficult to image something that large. So you need a really good wide-angle lens that allows you to get close to the object so that you can see it through the water, yet still get as much of it in frame as possible. And a lot of the photography that underwater shipwreck photographers do is based on the luck too. Sometimes the water is more clear than other times, and it's kind of like the lottery. You just have to get out there and dive, and if you don't dive, you don't get the opportunity to get the good visibility.
I looked at some of your photos, and in some of them you have another diver in by the ship. Is that partly so we get a sense of the scale?
Absolutely, yes. It gives the eye something to focus on, and definitely gives a sense of scale of these vessels. Some of them are smaller, some of them are larger.
Now, are there any shipwrecks out there that you haven't visited yet that would be on your list of dream shoots?
Oh, there sure are. There's a lot more that I haven't seen than there are that I have. The Great Lakes are basically a treasure trove of shipwrecks. Some estimates are as high as 10,000 among the shipwrecks within the five Great Lakes collectively. And it's just impossible to get to all of the good ones. There's not enough time or money, but it sure is fun checking them off the list one by one.
I guess if I were to go and try to do this, I wouldn't know where to look. Are these all really well mapped out and you just know where to go, or are you finding some of these in some cases?
No, finding shipwrecks is a whole nother skill set. I have a bunch of friends that are very good at that, and it takes a lot of pretty expensive equipment and a lot of time. So I leave that to others. I go to the ones that have already been found and that are shallow enough that I can get to them with my training. So a lot of the wrecks that I dive have been known for 30, 40 years. They were maybe found in the 70s, and they've been visited thousands of times, but for me, it's always refreshing to go back, and especially with a camera, and always try and get a better shot than maybe the one I already have in my collection.
Cal, thank you so much for talking today.
Thank you for having me.
That was Cal Kothrady, maritime artist, diver, and underwater photographer. We've been talking about shipwreck diving and photography in the Great Lakes.